Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Wednesday, October 15th, 2014. And with me today, I have two longtime colleagues, both as friends and as Macworld Expo attendees. Dave Hamilton, how are you, Dave?
I'm good. I'm not on my normal microphone. I'm here in a hotel room in Princeton after speaking last night, but I am well.
That's awesome, and you're a man in the field. So thanks for fitting the show into your crazy schedule today. And also, Bob, Dr. Mac Levitis, how are you, Bob?
I'm awesome. How are you? I'm sad, but awesome.
Yeah, I'm doing really well, and like you, I am a little bit sad, but I'm also kind of excited. And so the sad part comes from what we'll be talking about today, which is the news that Macworld iWorld for 2015 has been put on hiatus, which means there is no Macworld iWorld Expo in 2015. And I kind of feel like I really feel like the hiatus part is the kind of passive way of saying the show is just gone now.
Well, you know, when I saw that they decided to use the word hiatus, I take that as a very honest thing from IDG.
I think so. I think it's honest, yeah.
You know, I don't think they know, right? We're postponing it until 2016. They're also not saying we're canceling it entirely because I honestly think they don't know. I feel like I know where this is going to end, and it has ended. I don't think there will be another Macworld Expo, and it seems that most people out in the world have agreed with, come to that same conclusion on their own. But I don't take it as IDG trying to pull the wool over anyone's eyes, except perhaps their own.
I agree. I think that they are not trying to pull the wool over anyone's eyes, and I call it their passive way of saying that the show is officially over, because they need to decide for themselves what happens next. I don't think Macworld Expo, Macworld iWorld, as it has been in the past, will come back.
Right.
I think it's possible that IDG could decide that there's some other format that they could use for an event, and then that would be the next iteration of Macworld, but it probably wouldn't have the same name.
No, it can't. You know, and I was driving yesterday when the news hit. I knew a phone call was coming. I did not know exactly what it was going to be. So I had some time to process while I was driving, which is an excellent time to think. And then as soon as I got to the hotel here, I just barfed out my piece yesterday. I barely edited it. In fact, I dictated most of it to Siri, which is a disaster because Siri basically lets you dictate about a paragraph's worth at a time. But anyway, as an aside, and one of the things I said was, I don't think that a big consumer-focused trade show, you know, a 10 to 30,000 person show, makes any sense. I don't think it's worth it to exhibitors to pay for what it costs to create that kind of a show. I think a 500 person, even a 200 person, or up to a 5,000 person show, maybe would work, but the cost would need to be borne by the attendees themselves. Right. But it doesn't matter. That's sort of a different thing. If IDG were to call a 500 or even 5,000 person show Macworld Expo, it would be seen as failure, regardless of how successful that particular show or conference or whatever it is was.
Sure. Yeah. Because whatever it is, people will compare it to what was. It would be akin to what Apple did with iMovie, where they killed off a product, created a new product, but gave it the same name, and then people freaked out because it wasn't the same as the old product.
Right. Yeah, it didn't have as many features. It was very, very different. And we saw the same thing from Apple with Pages and Numbers and Keynote and GarageBand and Apple can stomach a few of those failures. I don't think the IDG business unit that covers Macworld, iWorld Expo could. I think it would be too much negativity, which is a shame because the people there, there would need to be less people there. I don't think they could support the staff that they have with a smaller show. But any of the people there are – I mean, they're all great folks and they do great work. So they could create this show and do a killer job. They may be the best suited people to do that. But there are others in the industry who have been doing well, just not with consumers-focused shows. You know, like MacTech, Neil Tichton does a killer job. And MacTech brings in about 350 people, but it's not for consumers. It's for developers and IT folks.
Yeah, but it's very, very cool.
It's cool. Singleton was great. I'm now hearing, as you know, yesterday was a weird day, right? Because Singleton sort of announced that they're not going to do one in 2015. It was a successful run, it seemed to me. You know, and that show had 150 people. I think AllConf that happens in Dublin has, you know, about the same. There's NSConf and CoderConf, but all of these are for not for consumers. So
you know what I think?
Go.
Video killed the radio star. And the internet killed the consumer trade show. It just doesn't make financial sense to go do that for either the exhibitors or the attendees. You can get that information so easily at your fingertips from wherever you are on whatever device you're near. I mean, there's got to be another reason to have an event like that. For example, it's a great place to socialize. It's a great place to do business with people who are in the same business. But just having it to show a product, I don't think works anymore. I think in this day and age, you can't make a case for spending that money as either an exhibitor or a attendee. It's the internet's fault. You know, if you want to blame someone, it's completely the internet's fault. Let's just kill it.
Yep.
So that's the thing,
there's the social aspect of it. And I think anything that were created for consumers would have to have no exhibitors at all. It doesn't make sense. But that therefore, you know, what most people probably would understand if they thought about it, but what most people probably don't think about is that their attendance at a show like Macworld Expo is heavily subsidized by the exhibitors. Costs that the exhibitors pay to have booth space, right? I mean, they are, and I've been saying this for a couple of years, that they are the sponsors of the event. And yes, they have booths there, but, you know, they're rarely going to get the value, the direct value out of the cost of that booth. Really, they're, you know, subsidizing this experience for the market. And if anybody were to do a show, and I kind of threw our hat in the ring, you know, in my article yesterday, for better and for worse, that's how I do things. But you know, if anyone were to put on this show, it would mean that attendees would need to pay somewhere between, you know, I'd like to say 500 on the low end, but I don't think that's the right number. I think it's closer to 1,000. And for that $1,000, I'm talking about, you know, a couple of days worth of not only whatever the content would be, but also meals and entertainment at night. And it's, you know, what it needs to be is like camp, to steal a term from Neil Tichton, who has made MacTech feel like camp. Even though there's 350 people there, you feel like you know everyone. He's amazing at this job. That's kind of
the formula for the geek cruises. It's about the price. I think the conference portion of your cruise is around $1,000.
Yeah, that's right.
And you know, people love that, but it's not a lot of people. It is a luxury.
Right, well, but you just need to have enough people that love it.
Right, right.
That's it, yeah. So there's opportunity here. And that was kind of the first thing that popped into my head was, okay, now that – listen, and we're going to talk about the sad aspect of this in a minute, but you know – if we're just looking at it from an opportunity standpoint, now that Macworld Expo is no longer holding that place in the market, right? If consumers are going to pay, and even though they were only paying, say, $100 for a pass to Macworld, people that traveled were paying far more than that, you know, for hotels and airfare and meals and, you know, everything, right?
Right.
So if people are going to budget not only their money but their free time, their vacation time to do this, They're probably not going to do this 5 times a year. In fact, they're probably only going to do it once a year. And so, you know, Macworld Expo sort of held that and kept it from being able to happen with anyone else. The question now that that's gone is, can it happen in another way? And consumers are fickle beasts. And, you know, I say this in a general sense. We're talking to you, right? The folks that listen to TDO. You know, would you want to attend something like this knowing that you're going to pay whatever your travel expenses are, wherever it is, plus, like you said, Bob, a grand $1,500 for your meals and the conference or whatever it's called? The word conference kind of rings untrue each time I think about this. But, you know,
whatever. I call it a circus.
Well, you know, we've had
it. I was thinking festival.
Festival, yeah. Well, then we have to have music, but that's okay.
Well, you know, and that...
There's one of my sadnesses.
Oh, man. I'm hoping I don't get choked up here. As I, you know, like I said, I was at first intrigued and thinking about the opportunities, and change is always good, you know. And then late last night before I went to sleep, I was researching something completely different and stumbled on actually a video from Phish's last show where they played horribly because their guitar player and singer was all hopped up on opiates, which is why they had to kill the band. Now, they came back after like 5 years, but they were all in tears on stage. And then that brought me to find a video of us, Bob, playing Feeling All Right at Cirque du Mac 10. So not this year, but last year. And I posted that. And then this morning, I woke up to a lot of replies to it and watched it again and experienced loss. I mean, that's been a really special thing. And I know it's been a special thing for the attendees, everybody that comes to Cirque du Mac. And it's been a really special thing for us putting it on and also just being on stage with each other. You know, those moments where we just – those quick glances that we have together on stage where nothing is said, of course, but so much is communicated. It's a pretty special thing, and it's hard to accept that that's not going to happen again.
Well, I'm not accepting that it's not going to happen again because I think we can make it happen again somehow in a way that works for all of us. I mean, it may not be easy and it may not be this year. It may not be next year, but I think we'll figure out a way to do it again because it was too much fun to say we're done.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, mm-hmm. There'll be some event where we'll go, hey, you know, we could probably put together a gig here.
Yeah.
You know, at the beginning of today's show, I said I'm sad and excited. We're talking about the stuff I'm excited about now, the potential for whatever comes next. I mean, where will the all-star band play again? Because, of course, it's going to happen. We just don't know when and where.
Where am I going to get to teach people how to use GarageBand by recording Rockaway Beach in 50 minutes? I mean, that's a great – that is one of my all-time favorite things to do at Macworld. And now I don't really have a place to do it. You know, I teach some classes at UT, but they're not interested in that. It's too loud.
See, and more excitement because what's the event that's coming next?
Well, I hope there is one because I sure like giving sessions like that. That's more fun to me than sitting in a dark room typing.
Well, I think it really comes down to, is there going to be enough interest from the consumer side to make an event worth doing? And if the answer is yes, well, then it's going to happen.
I hope so.
It's just a matter of when and where.
It's a tough business. In the, I guess in the 90s, I had a company called Dr. Mac Training, and we did workshops. They were 8 hours, and you know, we'd do them at a hotel, and we'd do a lot of marketing, and we'd get very few heads, but we, for a couple years, made a little money. But it's a really hard business, let me tell you. It's very hard to find people and convince them that it's in their best interest to spend that kind of money.
See,
and we were a lot less expensive. We were one day for $99, including your lunch, because I wanted to fill the room. I wanted to make it, you know, accessible. $99 for 8 hours. And even with that, it was very hard to fill the room anywhere but San Francisco and maybe L.A. New York, we did okay. Chicago, not too bad. But it wasn't a sustainable business even then, and we didn't have the internet competing with us.
Right. Well, and that's sort of what MacTech Bootcamp is now, right? I mean, that's what Neil's doing with that. But he's running into in some cities running into the same struggles you mentioned. But see, that's why I think I like your word festival, because that's what this needs to be. If it's going, if a consumer focused event is going to work, it needs to have a learning aspect, and that would that's kind of almost a given, you know, in the community that we're in. But it needs to be fun, and yes, it needs
right, social. You need parties and dinners, yeah, and lunches and you know, things where people hang.
Right. You know, and
it, so festival is a good word.
I come back to the first podcast expos that happened in Ontario, California, because yes, those were focused on podcasting, but no one, literally no one, was making their living, and probably most people weren't even making a dime from podcasting at the time. And yet we came back, right? And everybody came back because it was fun. We were spending our leisure time talking with people about something that we loved, but there was also just fun stuff going on. Now, that also happened to be an expo. The fun was accidental, I think. It was not planned. The evening events were wide open, but it happened in a city. Ontario, California has literally nothing. So
you made your own fun.
Right. You have to make your own fun. And, right, and there's no fun to be had. So you just all pool together and you're like, let's meet at the pool. And suddenly there's 300 people at the Marriott pool hanging out and there's a party. And so we bought barbecue, you know,
a geek party.
Yeah.
But I like that.
That's right.
Let's throw a geek festival.
See.
And see what happens. If we build it, they will come. I saw that in a movie once.
Yeah. Good luck with that part of it. I think but yeah, we got to.
No, I know how hard it is, but I'm with you. I will. I'll pitch in, however awesome necessary, to make it happen. I want it to happen, and I know there's thousands of people out there, the kind of people that listen to this podcast, and you know all of the other ones you guys do, and that I listen to. I know all of the people that are interested in that would be interested in coming to a festival to celebrate Apple stuff.
I'm certain.
And we could call it Apple Fest because nobody's ever called it that before.
I used to go to Apple Fest.
I know. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. But I wonder if we could license that name, because that's really the right name, an Apple Fest, a festival about Apple stuff.
Maybe. See, I feel like there's a community.
How about if we just call it Apple Festivus?
I think there's a community of podcasters that are like-minded in this way that may not – I don't know that we need the Apple focus. I don't know. There's a lot to discuss. But
well, if you do it as just geeky stuff, we're going to end up with androids at our party, and I'm not into that.
That's right.
You don't serve their kind here?
No. Yeah. I'm
but anyway,
android phobic.
See, talking about this stuff makes me feel better than talking about the concept that this past year was the last time the All-Stars played together. That just can't be.
Yeah, see, I'm preferring to look forward as opposed to back with all of this.
Yeah.
Which brings us back to my excitement about what's to come.
Yay!
Yeah, and we are totally out of time, so we have to wrap up.
Can I have one more comment?
Sure.
We'll be back. All right, that's it.
That's an awesome comment, and totally, totally right. And I'm so glad that I was able to get both of you guys on the show with me, since we've spent so many Mac worlds together, and I think we have some great ideas about what could come. And so here's a call to action to you, dear listeners. Let us know if you would like to see an event, and let us know what you would like to see at that event. You can hit us up on Twitter. So that would be our Twitter account is TMO Daily, or you can leave comments in the show notes. Just let us know. And Dave, Bob, thank you both for joining me today. You guys rock, like literally.
Yeah, we will rock again.
Oh, we will rock again. We'll be back. Mark my words.